Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday. This is March 26th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are in the Big Book. As usual, we are on page 27 of There Is a Solution, the first paragraph down. Some of our alcoholic readers may think through two paragraphs ending with the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. The comments will be on both those paragraphs. Today's readers are Rhonda R. for the 12 steps, Beth F. for the 12 traditions. The readers of the text are Shelley E., Sherry M., and Kara L. The share ID for Wednesday, March 25th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,315. That's 23315. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, March 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 23,317. That's 23317. Our newcomer greeter is Jody E., and our announcements person is Leslie M. And thank you all for your service this month. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service this morning. I'm Rhonda R. in Tennessee. The 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the chance to do service, and I will pass.
Well, thank you very much, Rhonda, for reading the 12 steps for us. I will now ask Beth F. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. My name is Beth F., and I'm a compulsive overeater in California. 1, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Beth F., for reading the traditions for us. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 27 of There Is a Solution, the first paragraph at the top. Some of our alcoholic readers may think through 2 paragraphs, ending with the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. And I will now ask Shelley E. to begin reading and comment for us. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning. Thanks, Mo. Thanks for your service. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 27, the first paragraph. And second, some of our alcoholic readers may think they can do without spiritual help. Let us tell you the rest of the conversation our friend had with his doctor. The doctor said, "You have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I've never seen one single case recover where the state of mind existed to the extent that it does in you." Our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. Thank you for letting me do service today. I was kind of nervous about reading these 2 paragraphs because I was kind of like, I need the beginning part of this story and I need the end part of this story to share in it. But, you know, that's not true. When I looked at it, I of course, closed with a clang is so descriptive. And what it told me was, these people back, you know, way back then, nobody had an answer like we do. There was no AA, there was no OA. And these poor doctors, they were just, you know, at their wit's end. They had no idea. And they were beginning to figure out maybe that there might be something, but they had no idea what they could do to help people like me. And I would say that I did have the mind of a chronic alcoholic, but didn't realize it. I've lost 160 pounds, but I could lose weight, and I did lose weight, but I didn't realize the craziness that was in my mind. I also didn't realize that what it was going to take was spiritual help. I was a person who, you know, I attended my church. I thought I was a spiritual person. In fact, I went so far as to tell my sponsor I didn't really need to read We Agnostics because I was real certain where I felt on that, where I was on that. Little did I know, I had huge pockets of agnosticism. I didn't even realize, you know. Every time I was in fear of my child going out the door, you know, we're kind of a family of addicts. Every time I was in fear of my child going out the door, I was taking the reins away from God. I was turning my face away from God. And so I had a lot to learn. And really, I could only learn that in OA. And I owe everything. I owe my, my day-to-day existence and being more calm, being more kind, more loving to OA. I also wanted to say for the newcomer, it kind of reminded me of page 42. And on page 42, it says, the program of action, though entirely sensible, was pretty drastic. It meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out the window. That was not easy. But the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, I had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact it proved to be. So if you're new here, get a sponsor. Do what they say. You know, it's not easy. We're all addicts. We've all been there. And nobody can bullshit a bullshitter. We all understand where you are. So just grab onto a sponsor's hand. Let them shed light on the book, big book for you. And turn your face toward God, you know, and live it every day. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much. That's Shelley E. from Texas. And we really appreciate you getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that is on both meetings. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Ian F., Kentucky.
I got you, Ian.
Veronica B.
Veronica B. So I have Ian F. and Veronica B. Anyone else would like to share?
Darcy A.
Darcy A. Thank you, Darcy. Anyone else? Now's your time. Press star one. All right, we'll go with those three in lieu of time. So everyone mute except Ian F. Good morning, Ian.
Hi, my name is Ian F. I'm a compulsive overeater out of Indiana or Kentucky, depending on the day. Really grateful to be here today and to have a meeting this morning. It's one of the things that I grapple with the most. When we're talking about step one is there are, you have to reach this point where you see no other options in order to be willing to work this program. That has always been my experience. And that's a really hard pill to swallow, you know. But like when I was a kid, I was 82 pounds, I was 5'4", BMI of 14, you know, deadly underweight. Given to a specialist, to several actually, and they could not figure out what was wrong with me. They could get me to a healthy weight by making me eat. They could monitor me, but they could not figure out why it was that I was hurting myself with food in the way that I was. And this is a similar experience, right? Like, she's going to an expert. They're playing overhead. I'm sorry about that, guys. But he's going to an expert, and he's saying, there's nothing I can do for you. Like, I have all of the power of psychology and science at my disposal, and I don't know what to do with you. And until I've had that absolute and utter proof that, like, yeah, intellect isn't going to cut it, spirituality is not that enticing of a solution. You know, at least that was my experience. Even when I was in your program for a year and a half, binging and purging and starving and binging and purging and starving and listening to this meeting, and others crying, binging with my camera off. You know, it wasn't until I had had that absolute proof that my intellect is not getting me where I need to go that I was able to move on. And so when they say, like, you feel like the gates of hell have clanged on you, when a sponsee tells me that, I'm like, okay, good, you're in the right place. So if you're feeling that way, I hear you, and it's the most painful thing, but it's also right where you need to be. because that's where we start. That's all I got. Love you guys. We'll pass.
Thank you, ENF in Indiana right now. Up next is Veronica B, followed by Darcy C. Good morning, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica B, recovered for today, living in California. Thank you for your service. Yeah, I'm going to take it back on Ian. This doctor saying to this person, you have a mind of a chronic alcoholic. I have never seen one single case recover where that state of mind existed to the extent that it does in you. That's good news. That was good news for me when my, you know, I finally, what happened to me was I ate and threw up for 15 years. I was a bulimic, and that had become my solution for 15 years until I started getting physically sick. I was having a lot of problems with my, like, upper GI problems from all the throwing up, and I went to see a doctor, and I got sick and tired of living the way I was living, and I finally told this doctor, you know, I have this problem eating, and, you know, I get rid of it, and she told me I was very sick, and I would have to, you know, go see a specialist, and blah, 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 and, you know, for the first time, like, I was honest with another human being. Being a bulimic was a very secretive, you know, way of living that I was living. I was living two lives, you know. I was pretending to be this way, and then I would go and be this dishonest person and just self-destructive with, you know, and it all centered in my mind. And it wasn't until I came to Overeaters Anonymous in 2009 that I got busy working the steps, and I got busy going to regular meetings on regular meeting days, and I got a sponsor, and I started making outreach calls that, you know, slowly I started to have a rearrangement of my thinking real slow. And once I discovered my alcoholic foods and abstain a meal at a time, you know, I started to get physical abstinence. But, you know, I had to work the steps and get that spiritual awakening to have the rearrangement of my mind. So it's good news. This is good news. Prayer God is very good news, you know, because if I'm not desperate, I'm not going to want to change anything about myself. So thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. That's Veronica B. from California. And before I take Darcy C., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 27 of There Is a Solution, the first paragraph. Some of our alcoholic readers may think through two paragraphs ending with the gates of hell had closed in upon him. I closed in, had closed in on him with a clang. So after Darcy, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Darcy.
Good morning. This is Darcy A. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Okay.
Oh, that's okay. Uh-huh. You know, reading this today, I was thinking of a doctor once when I was at my heaviest, about 240 pounds. I'm half of that today. And I was thinking when I was so desperate and I finally was talking to a doctor about it, and I just said, I can't lose weight. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't lose weight. I thought it was a weight problem, you know. And she said, well, and my experience was that you know, I had tried a lot of different things. And, you know, she said, it's been my experience that what you need to do is eat less and exercise more. And I remember thinking, okay. And I just kind of left, you know, with my tail between my legs and, you know, walked out of there like, I've tried that, you know. And, you know, my experience was nobody would tell me that I'm a chronic, you know, compulsive overeater, a chronic alcoholic with food. And so I'm so grateful for the solution that I found, you know, that I do need the big book and the steps, and I need to have a spiritual experience and a spiritual awakening and a psychic change, you know. And I've been white knuckling it at a normal weight for a long time, and I'm finally surrendered. You know, I have not had food neutrality. But I'm finally willing to ask for help, and I'm working the steps out of the big book. And I have experience with the big book. I used to carry the message in another 12-step program. And I got bigger and bigger and bigger sitting in restaurants, eating, talking about the big book and helping people work the steps. And I've never worked the steps abstinently. So this is a new experience for me. I was thinking about the idea of willingness, and I looked it up many years ago, and it said cheerfully consent, to cheerfully consent. And that's just never been my experience. I have to be beaten into a state of reasonableness. You know, I mean, I have to be really, really desperate in order to grasp a spiritual solution. And I don't want to live that way today. I want to wake up and have God be my first thought, not breakfast. You know, I want to be free. And I believe that this will work. I hear other people that have a solution and that can carry the message to me. And I believe that this will work for me, that I won't have to white knuckle it like I have. And I don't know, I just have a lot of gratitude today. And I think that's all I have to say. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Darcy A. And I believe you're from Washington. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Joy and
Hillary B.
Doreen
L.A. I heard Joy M.B. Who's next?
Doreen M.B.
I heard a B. Who's a B? Is it Hillary?
Hillary B. Yes. Thank you, Mo.
Okay. Who else?
Avi.
Cheryl A.
Avi. I got Avi. Who was after Avi?
Doreen N.
Doreen N. I think I heard a Shelley, too. Did I hear Shelley?
Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl.
It was Cheryl. Yeah.
Okay, got you, Cheryl.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. All right. We have Joy M.B., Hillary B., Avi V., Doreen N., Cheryl A., and Jordan L. We'll stop there. Everyone mute. And thank you all for that. Will be willing to serve, to be willing to share. And we'll start with Joy M.B. So everyone else mute. Please mute.
Good morning,
Joy.
Good morning, Vision Family. Do you hear me?
Yep. Very clear.
Thanks so much, Mo, for your service. I'm Joy M.B. from California, and I am definitely in recovery, praise God, because I became a member of Vision. And I cannot tell you how grateful I am for that privilege and that gift from my higher power. You know, I can remember being a child and my mother saying to me, there is a way out. The solution is stick your finger down your throat. Now, this was at about eight or nine. And I watched myself wind up to 360 pounds. And my mother, by the way, was invited to join Mensa. That's how brilliant she was. I have two doctorate degrees. In my spare time, I studied for a law degree. I thought there's nothing I can't do. I went to absolutely every single program. There is not a program on earth that I didn't attend, okay? There's not a loft or a basement in San Francisco that I haven't crawled in during my life. My mother sent me off to weight camp when I was 10. I remember being too fat at 5. My mother saying, well, I'm not going to pick you up. I'll pick your baby brother up, but not you. You're too fat. I have been in every program, and I thought to myself, what is wrong with me? Why am I a university professor, but I can't figure out, I mean, look how fat I'm getting and how fast I'm getting there. And why can't I figure out what is wrong with me? And I went through this. Finally, I discovered Overeaters Anonymous, and they would say, look at the blue book back there. You know, I carried it around in my purse. I had them on the show. No one was conducting great step meetings, but the important thing is no one said this is the cornerstone of the program. Joy, this is why you will lose weight. This is why you can do what you hope to accomplish. And so I drifted through my whole life going to OA meetings, going to Weight Watchers, going to Pay for Way, meeting everyone on the planet. There's not a program, I'm telling you, you can mention. There's not a solution. AIDS. Does everybody remember that? There's a little talk with Kennedy. Then I went and paid a guy all that money for the urine of an animal, and you sit and you look at yourself in the mirror for 30 minutes. I've got stuff that you wouldn't believe that they were selling on the air for losing weight. And yet the only thing that ever worked was to come to this program, the Visions View, to find a sponsor. And it took me to the third sponsor was a gift. The first sponsor wanted to go at the speed of light. The second one had other things in mind. And the third one turned out to have been wonderful. And here I stand, so much happier and so much able to live my life the way I'm sure higher power would have it, and willing to sponsor, willing to do whatever my sponsor tells me to do. So thank you for letting me share.
Oh, perfect. Thank you very much. That's Joy MB from California. Up next is Hillary B, followed by Avi V. Good morning, Hillary.
So I said, well, I just keep going. I haven't exercised, it's picking up the distance.
Is this Hillary? Is this Hillary? Good morning, Hillary. Press star one to unmute. Hillary, we can't hear you.
Oh, that's crazy. I did have star one before to unmute. Oh, well. Thank you. I'm so sorry.
Things happen. Sorry, Hillary.
The doctor said you have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. Our friend felt as though the gates of hell had closed on him with a clang. You know, it took me a long, long time in OA before I really felt the gates of hell closing on me. So I wasn't desperate enough. And I felt like I'm not as sick as anybody. I'm not as sick as you guys. I'm not as far gone. I can take it from here. So many times I worked the steps. I have had lots of spiritual awakenings where I have grown more and felt God. But it took a lot of years of developing that before I finally felt as though the gates of hell had closed in on me. That's what it took for me. I wanted to die. I just wanted to die. I just couldn't stop eating. I knew that. And it was a painful surrender. And I feel and it was a gift. Without that gift, I don't know where I'd be. I know I'd have a whole lot more weight on me, and I would be more isolated. All the places that I arrived at when I felt the gates of hell clang shut, I felt like I was imprisoned in my own life. And I had gotten grandkids. When I was 69, I finally got grandkids. And they were the joy, the light of my life, brought me just incredible love. And that wasn't enough. I still wanted to die. Can you believe grandkids did not do for me what food did for me? Food numbed me. Food enabled me to stay in denial about who I really was and what I was made up with, so I could stay miserable with a negative attitude. And so anyway, I'm grateful that the gates of hell closed in on me so that I finally woke up and was willing to really work the program. I was in the program, but I wasn't really working the program. But I believed I was working the program. I don't know. I can't figure it out. It's just how it was. So I hope that I can be a little bit of a warning light to encourage you. Don't wait till you're in your 70s before you feel the clangs of hell close on you, because there's such a wonderful life that awaits you that I have. I have a wonderful life and nothing has changed on the outside. Nothing. And I still get triggered and I'm not perfect and every day isn't wonderful. But I'm still happy and grateful and don't turn to food. When I want to turn to food, I make a call.
Right.
I do what I have to do and I stop when I have to stop. Thank you so much, Mo, for timing me.
Thank you. That's Hillary B. from California. Up next is Avi V., followed by Doreen N. Good morning, Avi.
Thanks, Mo, for your service. Hi, everyone. This is Avi from Vancouver, British Columbia. Oh, my goodness, do I ever love this meeting, and thank you for all the shares so far. This paragraph, well, really, I mean, so much of it, but the words, right? And when I hear that the gates of hell had closed in on him with a clang, like just the physical feeling of hearing that clang, and I have to laugh at this, right? I'm clean and sober. I'm a recovering alcoholic, 25 years clean and sober. I've been in recovery for a very long time, and it never occurred to me, never occurred to me. Meanwhile, I was eating myself to death. I ate myself up to about 265 pounds, and I remember so clearly when I was shoving food in my mouth and trying to swallow fast enough so I could shove more food in my mouth, and it was so violent. It was so violent, and I can remember shoving food in my mouth and thinking, oh, my God, I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this? And I just kept pushing food in my mouth. And through the night, through the day, I couldn't go more than 20 minutes without shoving some kind of food in my mouth. And the thing is, the morning, it was April 1st. I'm actually coming up on 2 years of being fully abstinent from my alcoholic foods, God willing. And now that's not to say, like, our definition of abstinence is also the behaviors. And I've been confounded with the behaviors. And that's a whole other matter. But that moment that I was so desperate because I've done all the other things that I hear you all talk about and nothing would touch it. And it never occurred to me, even the spiritual solution because of my time in AA, never occurred to me that it was the same with food. And that morning that I couldn't do it anymore. And I was so broken and so desperate that I was done, and I'm like, God, please, please help me. Please help me. And so completely desperate that I literally had that spiritual experience. I've had spiritual awakening since then, but that experience of the desire to eat my alcoholic foods was lifted from me. And I mean, I've released over 100 pounds at this point, but more than that, I've let so much lightness in, and that is this program. So the gates of hell, they might have clanged shut, but they're certainly open and expansive, and that light is coming in today. I love this meeting so much, and I love listening to you all. Thank you so much. And I pass.
Oh, thank you very much. That's Avi V. from Vancouver, BC. Up next is Doreen N., followed by Cheryl A. Good morning, Doreen.
Good morning, Doreen N. From Texas. Thank you for having this meeting. I'm relatively new to it, and I've heard a lot about it, and I could see why. You know, the clang for me, I was in jail twice, and the clang for me is, number one, turning that key and that metal door and that floor that was uncomfortable, and having a toilet where everybody could see me, it just the humiliation and the degradation and the shame, you know, and not having a way out without somebody opening that door. And sure enough, who was it? God. God opened that door. I was always the first one to get out because I always have friends come bail me out. But the bottom line is, this disease has taken over my life. I've been yo-yoing since I can remember. I've purged through exercise being hard on my body, doing high impact aerobics, binging after going to a pay and weigh and weighing in, and binging all weekend long, and then exercising ferociously so that I can catch up with the calories. This is absolute insanity on steroids. And so now I have a sponsor. No, she's amazing. We're going to start the doctor's opinion. My sponsor passed, and so I needed a new sponsor, and we hit it off, and she's great. But I need to be here. Do I want to be here? Hell no. I don't. But I don't have an option. I have no choice because there's no other way. I'm spiritually sick and emotionally bankrupt. And I turn to the food for my feelings. And I turn to the food for everything. Any emotion, I have problems with money right now. And literally, when they told me $500 for my vet to get my dog's teeth cleaned, I wanted to eat right away. And I'm like, I have no money. That's, it's just absolute craziness. And I get crazy and I don't want to. I have 2 days and since I have the built-in forgetter, I have 2 days of squeaky clean abstinence, and I forget how marvelous I feel, how grounded and serene. And I have to monitor that with remaking outreach calls. And thank you so much for the space, and thank you so much for the shares. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Doreen N. from Texas. Up next is Cheryl A., followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. This is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts. What strikes me about this passage is, in part, what we read prior to this. Getting to this point happened because he had to go back to the doctor after he had left thinking that he was okay. It said just a page ago that he had felt so much better from the physical prescriptions that were prescribed for him. And it said, though his experience had made him skeptical, he finished his treatment, physical treatment, with confidence. And then it went on to talk about how he had such a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind that he thought relapse was unthinkable. And yet, right after, nevertheless, he was drunk in a short time. So now he's coming back, and he's asking the doctor, what happened? You treated me physically. You treated me psychologically. I know the inner workings. I know this, probably the science of it all. But something's not there. And then the doctor revealed the truth. You're one of those. You're not the typical sick human being that can just recover every now and then. People do recover of your class. But he's about to say that I've never seen anyone recover. And then after today, we're going to go on to understand, well, what is the treatment for this exception? But when it said our friend felt as though the gates had closed in on him with the clang, it makes me think of that picture I've seen sometimes of the person in the middle of the desert holding up a jail bar in front of him, wearing jail clothes. He felt as if, but the reality is not that he's forcibly put in this jail cell. It's just something he's holding in front of him, thinking that it's there because we're about to learn what the solution is. It has to be a spiritual answer. Why is that the treatment for this particular disease? I do not know. Why can I take medication for my cholesterol and it brings down my LDLs, my bad cholesterol? I don't know. Why can't I take a medication and have it remove not just the obsession for compulsive eating, but the obsession for compulsive living, which I am treating today with my disease, with this aspect of my disease, one day at a time. But I can't treat it through coaches, through medical intuitives, through massages, through acupuncture, through reading. I can't do it. I've tried. I've been in this program for 38 years. It is only the, thank you, the deepening of my spiritual life and my relationship that will make this be in arrest. Thank you so much for listening.
Well, thank you very much. That's Cheryl A. from Massachusetts. Up next is Jordan L., followed by Rhonda R., and if we have any more time after Rhonda, I'll take some more names. Good morning, Jordan.
Mo, I got to pass this one. Sorry.
Okay. I'll maybe call on you after Rhonda or not. Okay, she hung up. I guess baby. Rhonda, you're up next.
Thank you so much, Mo. This is Rhonda R., grateful, recovered in Memphis, Tennessee. I don't usually share. I'm kind of shy about it, I guess, but this really called to me, and it's a, quote, coincidence. My friend Patty used to laugh at me when I said that. I think before recovery, she would say there aren't coincidences. Anyway, yesterday I went to a public garden here in Memphis, just gorgeous, thousands of tulips. It was beautiful. And in the middle was this large sculpture called The Gates of Hell by Rodin, the famous French sculptor. I hadn't really put it together until hearing this, but yes, The Gates of Hell, this is representing what it was like for me back in the day, not wanting to live, eating out of the trash, hiding all my maneuvers to go get food, climb back in the window, eat my stuff, throw it out the window, just all kinds of shenanigans and the shame and just hopelessness. I am really grateful to Kathy Mack, who 12-stepped me at a Big Brothers, Big Sisters meeting. She had lost a lot of weight. I started going to OA, and it has become such a way of life. I take it for granted until I hear these reminders. It's just such a wonderful way of living, of thinking, of connection. So great to just be able to call vision for you and listen and feel such a sense of belonging and relating. That's pretty much what I wanted to share. I'm not in the gates of hell anymore. I'm really glad to be on the other side of that. It's a miraculous program, and I'm grateful for what it took to get me here. Thank you for your service, Mo, and I will pass.
Well, thank you very much, Rhonda R., and she is from Tennessee. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others may share their experience. So I can take 2 to 3 more. Who would like to share on these 2 paragraphs?
Polly Q.
Polly Q.
John T.
Who was the gentleman? I heard a C.
John T.
Gotcha. Gotcha, Joe. Joe C. And there was one other person there?
Gunit, G-U-N-I-T, last initial B.
Okay, well, how did you spell your first name?
G-U-N-I-T, Gunit.
G-U-N-I-T, Gunit. Oh, and your last initial?
B as in boy.
B as in boy. Thank you. We'll just go with those 3. So I have Polly Q, Joe C., and Jeanette B. Good morning, Polly.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Polly Q, Northern California, recovered. You know, I had broken my abstinence, white-knuckling abstinence, by the way. I had been in OA for years. I worked the program many times. I've been in another program, did a 4-step, which brought me into OA and made me realize, wow, maybe this is an addiction. So I was all up for the spiritual awakening. I was like, I thought I'd had it. And then, but what had happened was I was only willing to do so much. And so is Roland Hazard, by the way. Roland Hazard is a believer in God. You know, I mean, that's who they're talking about here. And he believes that he's, you know, he believes in God. He's from a rich family. He's highly functional. You know, and I think he even goes to a group. It has nothing to do with alcohol, but because AA doesn't exist at that point. But you know, he's like me. I mean, what do you mean? I go to meetings. What do you mean? I sponsor one or two people in OA. You know, but I've kept off 75 pounds through white knuckling abstinence, and that's going to wear off. But I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that's how these programs work. The 12-step programs work for most people with a food obsession, with an addiction. At least that's my experience in the rooms. But when I came to this meeting, I heard something different, and I was desperate enough. Forget willingness. Desperation has to be it. And so is this guy. He's desperate too. And so he's going to have to change the way he thinks. That's coming up. He's going to have to change what he believes. I couldn't work just steps one time. I couldn't just go to meetings and sit in the rooms. I have to have a spiritual awakening through the steps every day. And as a result, I have more power. And so the disease does not take over for that day. Because otherwise I'm going to eat. Because I'm going to get frustrated. I'm going to have emotional reactions to things. And I'm going to be a human, a spirit having a human experience. So I have to have these steps every day. I have to work them every day. And that takes practice and effort. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Polly Q. She's from Northern California. Up next is Joe C., followed Denise. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Joe, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you to the host and everybody else in service. A lot of great sharing. I want to keep it real simple. For me, I remember reading this story, and it was Dr. Carl Jung, I believe, that Roland was working with. And what it kind of boils down for me, because as a previous speaker was sharing about it, this was all pre-AA, not long before the birth of the fellowship. But to say to the newcomer and anybody coming back that, you know, from my experience, it is difficult, this spiritual awakening or spiritual experience thing, or it has been in the past. And the bottoms can be lifted up, though. We don't have to, you know, destroy our lives before we start something clicks. So again, I say to the newcomer, everybody comes back, the message is hope and the promise is freedom. And the hope is that any compulsive overeater, anorexic or bulimic, any one of us can stop abusing ourselves with food and find a new way to live. And, you know, there's all kinds of things out there today that we can use to substitute for this spiritual awakening. And for me, it's a spiritual awakening. Spiritual experience is, from what I recall, is instantaneous. And Roland and Bill might have, I think, had that experience. For most of us, it's an awakening over time. And that's where the design of these steps was, the way they were. They were originally six tenets, and they were, you know, I believe because of higher power, expanded into something that someone like myself can accept. Because faith was a lot for a lot of us, not all of us, but faith is a tough thing sometimes because of the trauma we experienced as children and such. And trusting is faith. The word faith comes from the Latin word fidere, which means complete trust. And for a lot of us, trusting someone else to help us or a group of people or anything with our problem we have here is difficult. And it can be so much that we end up dying before we begin to live. So, yeah, that's spiritual. Thank you. Yeah, so keep coming back. This program does more. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Josie. Gunit, we are out of time, so please come back tomorrow and offer your share tomorrow. Okay, thank you. All right. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will now ask Sherry M. to read A Vision for You. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi, good morning. Yes, good morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.